A common tactic used by many people when they're first quitting smoking is to try to avoid things that they're pretty well convinced they can never do without smoking, or they're afraid of doing things too soon, like they're not going to be ready to be able to deal with certain situations for a long time after they quit. Generally, the quicker people face the situations that they are most fearful of, the things that they are convinced they can never do without smoking, the better mindset they're going to have, the quicker they're going to be able to realize, hey, everything they do as a smoker, they can do as an ex-smoker. When you put off doing certain things, and you do it for an extended time period, you start to cripple yourself with the belief, no, maybe I can do a lot of stuff, but I'll never be able to do this without smoking. One of the best examples I have of this kind of situation is I had a man come to a clinic. This is many years ago. I think it was over 25 years ago now. It may have even been a little bit longer than that. His name, I'm going to use, is Mark. His name wasn't Mark, but I don't know how he feels about me telling his story, and he's still around, and maybe he'll see this. So I'm just going to change that one fact in the story and to say that the man's name was Mark. Now, Mark comes to my clinic the first day, and he's introducing himself to me, and we're talking a little bit before the clinic started, and he starts telling me that, you know, he really wants to quit. He's very dedicated to this. He's a little concerned. He had just built an addition onto his house. It was a few months before this was happening, before the clinic was occurring, and it was for his home office. He had the luxury at this time that he didn't have to drive to work anymore if he didn't want to. He was able to work out of his home. Now, he lived in a northwest suburb of Chicago, and it was going to be a 15 to 20 mile commute, and I think it was closer to 20 miles each way that he had to do to go to this office. And this was in the days before there was a lot of people doing telecommuting, but he was set up where he could do everything out of his own office. He didn't have to go downtown anymore if he didn't really want to. He told me, though, he's afraid of one situation. He had built this addition onto his house, and again, this was going to be his home office. He had kids who were allergic to cigarette smoking. And his wife had been telling him for a long time, you shouldn't smoke in the house, I don't want you smoking in the house. And I think for a long time he resisted it, but sooner or later he realized, she's right, he shouldn't be smoking in the house. It's not good for the kids, he should not smoke around the kids. They're allergic to smoke, it's not good for them. And he agrees, okay, I won't smoke in the house anymore. But he had just built this addition with his home office, and he said, hey, the kids aren't allowed in the office, they're never in there. What if I just smoke in the office? Well, his wife thought that was a good compromise. She was never saying, oh, you have to quit smoking. What she was saying is she didn't want him smoking around the kids. So that was a compromise that she was willing to live with. So he said, this really has become my smoking room now. And he said, it's only been a couple of months. You know, it's a new addition. He said, but whenever he's in this room, he just smoked like a chimney, because in those 2 months, this was the only place he could smoke in the house. And he said, whenever he's in there, he smokes, and he was really afraid that he couldn't go in this room without a cigarette, that it was really going to be hard. Now, this is before the clinic started. This was, you know, again, we're introducing ourselves to each other at this point, and he's nervous about this. And I said, well, you know, you'll be ready to go back in there pretty quick. You know, don't be worried about that. Everything a person does as a smoker, they can do as an ex-smoker. But he said, you know, but he's really scared of doing this now. And I said, well, you know what, for a few days if you want, sure, you know, just go downtown. I figured at that point, well, he would learn how to drive, he would learn how to deal with people at the office. You know, everything you do those first few days, whether it's normal routines or not, you're still learning how to do these other routines. And going to the office was a routine that he sometimes did. I figured he'd get that out of the way first. But then I pointed out to him, but don't put off too long going into this office. You've got to understand you can do this. They said, no, I know. I'm sure I can do this, although you can see hesitation as he's saying it. But, you know, but it's just too soon right now. And I figured, fine, you know, I'll deal with him later on in the program about this. He never brought up the room again during the clinic, and I never thought about the room again. I don't know why. It never came to my mind, and he never brought it up. We went through the whole clinic. He graduates. He loved not smoking. He was very enthused. I think he may have even done a couple of panels for me in the early, in the first few months. I'm not sure about that. The panels may have been after the incident I'm about to talk about, but I'm pretty sure he did do at least one or two panels. Well, the incident that I'm going to refer to now is the clinic was over. he was off smoking. His life was going well. He was doing really good. I was following up this group, and it was a couple of months after the clinic was over. I would call people during the clinic. I would call every day the first few days, and then I'd wean it down to, you know, once or twice a week, to once a week. And then after a while, you know, it'd get to be a monthly phone call. Well, this was about 2 months after the clinic was over. I get Mark on the phone. It was a Saturday morning. I was following up groups. I get him on the phone. It's Saturday morning. We're talking just about how things are going. Oh, things are great. You know, really, it's going well. This is good. He says something about work, and why I remembered at this point in time, when I had never thought about it before, I can't even begin to tell you. I don't remember what he said about work, but he said something about downtown, his office. And for the first time, I realized, oh, he's got that home office that he built. And I said, oh, you know, are you going downtown much now? Or, you know, are you home most of the time working out of the house? Or are you still traveling back and forth much? And he goes, oh. As soon as I hear someone on a smoking clinic phone call go, oh, there's something they don't want me to know. There's something that they were caught off guard and I asked the question, and it's something they don't want to talk about. It's very funny. I mean, and this was different than what most of these O's are. Usually when I get a person on the phone and I call up to see how they're doing and I say it's Joel from the clinic and they go, oh, I don't care what they say after that. There's a good chance they're smoking. You know, they can make up all the stories they want, but once they say, oh, in that situation, there's something going on. Well, Mark goes, oh. And I knew as soon as I heard it, I said, what's wrong? He says, oh, God, I don't know how to tell you this. He said, oh, this is kind of embarrassing. He said, I haven't been in that office yet. Now, all of a sudden, it hits me what he's saying here. I go, Mark, are you telling me you've been driving downtown every day, weekday, for 2 months because you're afraid to go in this room because you're going to smoke? He says, yeah, you know, I love not smoking. Not smoking's great. It was the smartest thing I've ever done, the best thing I've ever done. It's worth it for me to drive downtown every day. Now, again, I agree on one premise here. It's worth driving 40 miles a day, every day, if that was keeping a person from not smoking. But it's not an either-or situation. I mean, he was able to go in this room without a cigarette, but he didn't think so. Because he had put it off, he crippled himself. He can't go in this room. And basically, this guy is driving 200 miles extra a week because he's afraid if he goes in this room, he's going to smoke a cigarette. I said, Mark, you can go in this room. He said, no, there's no way. I'll blow it if I go in the room. I said, Mark? Do you have a phone in that room? And he says, well, of course, it's my office. And I started laughing when he said that, because here he's still calling it his office, you know, so of course there's a phone in there. It's his office. He doesn't go in the room anymore. He won't use it as an office because, no, it's the smoking room. I said, go in that room. And I gave him the number I was at. I said, call me back. And it took some coaxing. He didn't want to go. He was afraid he was going to smoke if he got into this room. And I could have told him to go in a room and I'd call him, but I wanted to show him that he could actually dial the phone without a cigarette in that office. And it took me some coaxing, but I did get him to go into the room. I said, and call me back. I'm sitting here waiting for the call. So we hang up, he goes into the smoking office, and he calls me back. Now, what I did is I started a conversation with Mark that I purposely dragged out for a solid half hour. I mean, I was watching a clock. And I never talked about smoking during this whole conversation. I knew some of Mark's family. I knew some friends. I was just doing small talk with him, but I was purposely doing it and extending it for as long as I could. I was shooting for a half-hour mark. And I always joke about this in the clinic when I tell this story. I tell the people in the group, and I usually tell this story on the first Monday, so they've now known me for 5 days. I joke about how I have this ability to talk a half an hour and have absolutely nothing to talk about. And people usually laugh at that because they've seen me now for day after day just talking away. And again, if you look at the videos, you realize I just talk a lot. Well, usually I talk about smoking, but hey, if I have to, I can talk about other areas of interest. And I was doing small talk with Mark, just holding him into the conversation. And I was trying to get him to converse too. And I was trying to keep him comfortable and trying to do totally small talk with him. Enough to be interesting so he doesn't want to hang up, but I didn't want him to really be thinking anything too hard at this point. When the half hour clicked by and he finished some story, his, you know, response to what I had said, I said, oh, by the way, Mark, in the last half hour, have you thought about a cigarette once? And Mark started laughing because he realized what I pulled off here. I pulled them into this room. I got them to, you know, dial up the phone, pulled them into a conversation, and by avoiding talking about smoking the whole time period, he realized when I asked the question, he hadn't thought about a cigarette once in the last half hour. See, if I was talking about smoking, this wouldn't have worked, but I was talking about everything but smoking or not smoking, and he hadn't thought about a cigarette once, and all of a sudden he had to realize at that point, like, hey, he could be in this room without having to have a cigarette. He wasn't thinking about a cigarette. Again, by him putting off going in that room for as long as he did, he wasted a ton of gas. He wasted a whole lot of time commuting back and forth, and he was living with a level of fear that there was an area of his life that was not a life or death area because, hey, he was able to maneuver around it. He didn't go in this room. But it was making his life much more inconvenient, and it was creating that sense of fear that there are certain things out there that can't be done, you know, after you quit smoking. Don't do that to yourself. Understand, everything you do as a smoker, and I mean this, everything you did when you were a smoker, you can do as an ex-smoker. You learn how. You have to teach yourself how. No one can teach you how to do your life, but you learn how to do it, and you learn how to do it by going and doing the things. Going and doing the things that you're afraid. I can never do without smoking, without taking a cigarette. The first time you do it, it might be intimidating. It might be scary. The second time, yeah, a little bit scary. Maybe you're still thinking about it. But you do things over and over again enough times, you'll do them and not even think about a cigarette. The first 3 days, you had the fear about everything you did. But you broke that by getting through those days. And again, those were on top of drug withdrawal. Now the new things that are happening are new without the withdrawal complicating it. So if you got through the first 3 days, you're going to get through all these other nuances too, these different events. The way to keep proving to yourself that your life goes on without smoking and that everything you did before, you can now do still. And maybe even better. With better focus, better concentration, just getting through things quicker without having to take the breaks. The way you keep proving yourself that everything you did before you can do now and in many ways better is to continue to live your life with your commitment staying intact to never take another puff.